The Cap and Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
Chicago, this is your new morning routine. Cap and Jay Hood. Follow Cap J Hood on Twitter and Instagram. Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. Stream the show on the ESPN Chicago app on ESPN 1000. And now on FM at 100.3 HD2. Now, on Chicago's home for sports. David Kaplan and Jonathan Hood.
Good morning, everyone.
Takes off. Left side, he's in. Touchdown, Bears. A three-yard touchdown run by Justin Fields. His second running touchdown. What a drive. Here's one floated for Swift, and it's picked. Brisker, the rookie. That's his first. Jonnu Smith was the target, the tight end. And number nine flashed in and made a one-handed pick. Blitz. Fields throws to Herbert. Second takeaway by this Bears defense as Justin Jones, the big defensive tackle, comes away with a football. Montgomery is in for the touchdown. What a night for the ground game of the Bears. Zappy passes in the air and intercepted by Smith. Tipped at the line, and Roquan Smith with another takeaway for the Chicago D. This is going to be intercepted by the rookie Gordon. Kyle Gordon just runs out of gas, but another takeaway by the Chicago defense.
And another one of those young players from this year's rookie class. You know, we talked about the impact that Dominique Robinson has had, and now Kyle Gordon.
Right there on Monday Night Football, the Bears defeat the New England Patriots 33-14. Good morning, oh God, welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show. Here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. With David Kaplan, Jonathan Hood with you on a Bears Victory Tuesday. We got Shay, we got Charlie, we got you for a three-hour ride. And our phone lines are open for you, 312-332-ESPN. 332-3776 is our phone number. Good morning, Twitch. Twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. As always, thanks for keeping the conversation going. That's where you can watch the show. I said the open, Cap, that the Bears beat the Patriots 33-14. Let me rephrase that. The Bears beat the Patriots' ass last night, 33-14. They beat their ass last night. It was the last time that you saw a Bears victory quite like that. All three phases, and you're taking out the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Bill Belichick, in a big way in Foxborough last night.
And you broke the tie with the Packers for winningest franchise of all time. You're back in front with a win after they lost to the Commanders. It was an outstanding game. Full disclosure, I didn't pick them. You didn't pick them. Not many did. Tip your cap, man. Matt Eberflus spent the 11-day mini bye getting his team ready to play football. They got designed runs, 12 of them for Justin Fields. He had 18 in the first, I believe he had 12 in the first 18 games of his career.
Mm-hmm.
He had 12 last night. Ran for over 80 yards, made some tough throws on the run. The defense was outstanding. They did a good job in the run game, both running the ball and stopping the run. Brisker and Gordon with interceptions. Roquan Smith with a sack and an interception. I thought they played a hell of a football game, man. If you'd have told me they were going to blow out the New England Patriots, I would never have believed it. And it was really fun to watch. Oh, and credit snarling who told us, take the points. That's not a good New England team. He was exactly right.
Well, it wasn't a good Bears team yesterday either. Okay, so that's why you look at it with perspective and say, when will the Bears ever get themselves off the mat and look like a competent football team? The key word to yesterday's show, you opened up with it yesterday, 24 hours ago. Hoodie, I just want them to look competent. I'm just telling you. And guess what? They looked competent yesterday. They looked motivated. The execution was there. All of that was there for the Chicago Bears. And you know, what really makes me happy about the game yesterday, Cap, is that it was great for Justin Fields. It was great for Justin Fields. Again, 13 for 21, good for 179 yards, a touchdown. His quarterback rating was 57.4. What seems mundane for other teams offensively to just, you know, connect to the receivers, run the football, have an offensive line, what seems mundane for other teams offensively was a big step for Getsy in the offense yesterday.
It was the best game plan we've seen from an offensive coordinator slash offensive coach. Matt Nagy was the coordinator when he was here, as well as head coach. The best game plan we've seen in eons around here.
Mm-hmm.
Take advantage of Justin, get him out on the edge, get him out on the move, and he delivered, man. Everyone in town, thank God Mustafer's benched. Yeah, two series in and he was back because Lucas Patrick, I'll be shocked if he plays on Sunday. They took him off on a cart with a toe injury. And so if he's out any extended time, Sam Mustafer did a pretty solid job yesterday. I thought one of the unsung heroes in the game was Cole Kmet. His blocking was outstanding last night. And on one of the big runs David Montgomery had down in the red zone, Cole Kmet had a seal block that was outstanding. Herbert ran the ball with purpose and authority,
yes,
as did Montgomery. That team came in with something to prove, and they proved it last night.
For Justin Fields in this offense, that was a step in the right direction for sure. And when Justin needed to be able to get a first down with his legs, he went to go find it. It wasn't like he was anything different than what he had been before as far as him checking, making sure that there was a receiver open. I thought his eyesight was better in this game against the Patriots than we've seen all season long as far as him connecting to Mooney, him connecting to St. Brown. But also on third down in a big spot, third and five, third and six, he goes, I'm pulling it down and running. I'm going to find a way to get this first down. That's determination right there. As I mentioned, Cap, the motivation for this Bears team. And here's the thing that we won't know, because I'm sure Eberflus will keep it close to the vest. I'm envisioning Eberflus telling the team before the game, hey, look, man, we're in Foxborough. Nobody believes in us. We're taking on the Patriots. And that dude, the greatest of all time on the other side of this building, is going to surpass Papa Bear Hallis. And we're the Bears, not on Papa Bear's watch, not on our watch. Take that. Let's go.
It was awesome.
I would have used that for motivation. Like, this is the guy. This is the reason why the Bears are here. This is the reason why the NFL's here. Here's the reason why you're paid. So you're gonna lay down and let this guy surpass Papa Bear? It might happen, but not against us.
So I said the same thing, and the guys I do the show with at TV looked at Juan. He said, there ain't six guys in the locker room, he's one of the Patriots, that have heard of Papa Bear.
Doesn't
they don't
matter.
Know who he is.
Doesn't matter.
And I said, Coach, you got to stand up in front of your team and go, just what you said, not on our watch. It'll eventually happen.
Sure.
He's going to win another game, and our guy's dead. We're not going to be able to rally the troops. Not against us. You're not doing it tonight.
Right.
And I'll tell you what, man, the effort that you saw, again, get back to the game plan, the defensive game plan, they did a really, really good job. They pressured Mac Jones on that interception, and Brisker just made a play. And I'm tired of hearing people go, we should have taken George Pickens. No, we took the two best guys on the board, and both guys were really good last night. That should be the backbone, along with Jalen Johnson, of a very good secondary. Now you got to build the other parts.
That's exactly right. And so on the New England side of things, so, Shay, here we go. You have Mac Jones coming in there, and you could already hear the zappy chants from people in Foxborough. They wanted the backup in. What's the most popular player in sports?
Backup QB.
The backup of anything. The backup goaltender, the backup, whatever you think, who you think is popular, you love the back. And you kept hearing the Zappy chant. I had no idea that Zappy would be in there that soon.
Now, Zappe comes in, and I'm thinking, okay, what could he really do here against the Bears? You know, zap here, zap there. All of a sudden, now the Patriots got the lead. But Mac Jones comes back in. And listen, it's Bill Belichick. He's the greatest of all time, but you talk about coaching a horrible game. This ain't college, pal. Man, you stick with Zappe or stick with Jones. This back and forth by him, dude. I mean, again, I'm used to this on Saturdays, but to have this happen on Monday Night Football, you've got to be able to choose. If you don't think Mac Jones is the guy, then you just go ahead with Zappe. Now you've got yourself a quarterback controversy. I like that the Patriots were on their heels all night. They were, but I didn't think Belichick coached a very good game. I do not.
Yeah, I don't understand what he was talking about after the game. That was the plan. There were people saying, well, maybe Mac got hurt. And he stuck with Zappe. I don't know who's going to start in their next game on Sunday. I think they have the Jets.
Yeah.
I don't know who he's going to start at quarterback. He wouldn't say, but it was ridiculous on the post game where he said, oh, yeah, this was the plan all week. And then Storling's telling me he was listening to a post game show there because he's a huge Patriots fan that one of their linemen said, well, that didn't go on this week. We never even heard of that.
I saw it on Twitter after the game. Michael Onwenu, one of the Patriots offensive linemen, said they had no idea Zappe was going to play in this game. And when he actually went in the game, none of the Patriots offensive linemen were aware that he was going in. So my thing watching it last night,
yeah,
Eberflus undressed Belichick.
Yes. He outcoached Belichick in a big way.
He did.
How rare is that, by the way?
Yeah, we're talking about the GOAT. The greatest coach of all time in American sports, some people say. And they came prepared, the Bears. They played with an edge. They played with a little bit of nasty. How about some of the hits on special teams?
Oh, yeah.
Like, I was shocked, I think at least twice, New England brought the ball 5 yards deep out of the end zone. They don't always do that. He usually take it at the 25, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
And bam, guys are getting hit at the 15, the 20. It was a team that had some nasty last night.
It's a Bears Victory Tuesday, and we're getting your thoughts right now. Open the phone line, Shay, 312-332-ESPN, 332-3776 is our phone number. You got a chance to watch that game. You got a chance to listen to that game. We want to hear your thoughts as the Bears beat the Patriots' ass last night, 33-14. What stood out most about the game yesterday? Cap and I will take your phone calls next on Chicago's Home for Sports. We'll hear from Albert Breer momentarily here on Cap and Jay Hood. Small business owners, lend us your ears. You may have overpaid on your payroll taxes during COVID. If you continue to pay employee wages during the pandemic, Omega Accounting Solutions may be able to help you recover a refund up to $26,000 per employee. 800-704-2000 is the number, 800-704-2000 with any ERC questions. That's 800-704-2000 or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com before the filing window closes or funds run out. Charlie.
Cap. J-Hook.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
Well, see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
What Bert is it?
It's the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000, streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Every Tuesday at 8:30, we get a chance to talk to Albert Breer, the senior NFL reporter and part of Monday Morning Quarterback. After having his Asian noodles last night and a nice cold beverage, he was able to settle in and watch the Bears and the Patriots. Albert joins us here on ESPN 1000. Good morning, Albert.
They were good, and I cooked them myself, actually, believe it or not. I'm a terrible cook, but, you know, we get HelloFresh, I can follow directions okay. I'll put it that way.
Well, that's good.
All right, let's talk about what we watched last night because we all mocked Belichick all last week when he gave a 7-plus minute, 1,003-word answer, longest of his career. this Bears team, and they got a good offensive line, and the coach, he couldn't even remember his name. And everyone went, yeah, whatever. And the Bears beat the living H out of them. What did we watch?
I'm still like a little bewildered by everything from last night. You know, from the way the Bears just looked like a totally different team, the speed with which it looked like those guys were playing, like hair on fire type of speed, you know, and then the Patriots bungling of the quarterback situation, you know, and then the progress Justin made. Like, I think, like, without question, Justin was the best quarterback on the field last night, you know. So there are a lot of surprises, I think, you know, last night. And I think, you know, it's a good win for the Bears to build on in that, you know, I think you're starting to see some of the things that Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy and all those guys are doing working. And I think maybe the most encouraging thing is you're starting to see adjustment and progress from young players. You know, you see obviously Jaquan Brisker, the way he's playing, and I think he looks like he can be a star for you going forward. And he's a guy we knew about in camp, you know, so it's a guy they ID'd early and a guy that, you know, has sort of given you something to build on. Kyler Gordon making play in the secondary there. You know, and then, you know, with Fields, I think the coach is showing the, I would say, flexibility to change the plan as they go on. Correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't watched every snap, but I don't think we saw a whole lot in the way of designed runs for Justin Fields early in the year. We saw more of that last night, and I think you're sort of seeing how Justin's athleticism can really work to compromise the defense and make things easier on everybody.
I believe I told Hoodie, I think I got this right, 12 design runs his first 18 games of his career, and he had 12 last night. It's something like yeah. that. It's close.
Yeah, and I mean, will this be who Justin will be for the rest of his career? And is that just, I mean, it's tough, you know, if you're asking a guy to run that much. Yeah, but we've seen other teams do it, you know, and I think effectively what it does for you and your young quarterback is it buys him time to develop. You know, I don't want to compare him one for one with Lamar because Lamar is so much different, but you see the way that Lamar has developed as a passer, and there's no way Lamar develops as a passer, has the time to develop as a passer, unless the Ravens are doing creative things to buy him that time. Like, if they went out and tried to play him as, like, a drop-back passer from day one, he'd be off the team by now. You know what I mean? But they did they bent to do things that he does well, and in turn, that bought him time to develop as a passer. And now Lamar Jackson's a pretty damn good passer. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that that's what it can do for you is, you know, I think it buys the young quarterback time to develop. And I think it can work that way for Justin. And I think it gives you a chance to see if all of those pieces that Justin has, from his intelligence to his athleticism to his toughness to his arm strength to some of the natural accuracy he has when everything's right around him, it gives you a better chance, I think, to see if he can bring all those things together and develop into the type of passer that a lot of people thought he could be coming out of Ohio State.
So, Albert, can you confirm something for us regarding Bill Belichick and him, the use of Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe? Because I just thought that it's one of the rare times where I thought that Belichick was unsure of what he wanted to do. I mean, the pressure of people in Foxborough just chanting Zappe all of a sudden after three series, Jones is out and Zappe's in. What was the game plan coming in? Because, Cap, we talked about it earlier, the players didn't know when Zappe was coming in or if he was even going to play, right?
Yeah, one of the guards
I mean, the whole thing was bizarre. And I think, you know, from Bill getting it out there before the game that they were going to do this so it wouldn't look like a benching, to pulling him when they did. And I think that that's a little nuance there that not enough people are paying attention to. Like, if you don't want to screw with the kid's confidence, maybe make it so his last throw isn't an interception. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, it's one of those things, guys, where, you know, maybe it was planned, but if it walks like a duck and it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. You know what I mean? Like, that... If we didn't have what Bill had said to ESPN before the game and what Bill said in the press conference afterwards, what will we all be saying this morning? Mac Jones got benched, right?
Yes, absolutely.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I mean that had all the markings of a benching. From Bill not saying anything during the week about who his quarterback was going to be, to Bill turning down several chances to declare Mac Jones the starter, to them getting out there and going 3-and-out twice in a row and then throwing the interception, you know, and then Mac coming off the field then and not going back in. If you take all the chatter around it away, like, that's a benching, right? Like, that is a textbook benching. And, you know, I think that this is a murky spot for the Patriots to be in right now. I just know this. Like, Bill sort of marched to the beat of his own drummer forever, and he doesn't do things in a conventional way. But sometimes conventional wisdom is conventional for a reason, if that makes sense.
Okay, so let's talk about what's sustainable for the Bears going forward. Because going into the game, I didn't pick them. Johnny didn't pick them. Most of the
nation. I don't think anybody picked them, guys. I mean, I got to tell you, like, the freezing cold takes guy.
Yeah.
tried to light the ESPN crew on fire because everyone picked the Patriots, right? Like, I don't know if you guys saw it anywhere. I didn't see one person pick the Patriots.
88% of the tickets in Vegas at DraftKings were on the Patriots.
Shane Orley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just completely out of nowhere.
So what is sustainable? They got to go to Dallas here now in a short week. And, you know, as much as we loved last night, his name is Micah Parsons. I mean,
yeah.
Holy bleep.
Right. So, you know, I think what you're going to see against Dallas, this is, you know, my guess on it, would be the Bears trying to build on the run game stuff that they did last night, and being able to run the ball the way they did against the Patriots. And, you know, like, to me, maybe the most encouraging thing about it, guys, was the way that at the end of the game, when they needed to punch it in to put the Patriots away, and not the last drive because that was a throwaway, but, like, you know, like the drive before that where they get into the red zone and the Patriots know they're running, they were able to run it. Like, to me, like, that's a real sign of toughness. You know what I mean? Like, when you can run the ball and the other team knows it's coming and you can still punch it in. And I think it was Montgomery who scored the touchdown, right? Like, at the very end?
Yes.
You know, like, the way I think he scored standing up. And to be able to do that, I think there's something to build on there. You know, and so what's the best way to slow down a great pass rush, and what the Cowboys are going to bring with DeMarcus Lawrence and Micah Parsons and slow down the coaching staff, too, with all their creativity and what they do with Parsons?
Fine.
Best way to do it is to run the ball, you know, and to stay out of long yardage situations. And so, like, I think that's the first thing. And Justin can be part of the running game, and I think that helps you with Justin as a passer if you're able to play him off of play action more. So, you know, I think that's the first thing. That also will cover up a lot of your deficiencies in pass protection, which have been obvious over the course of the year. You know, and then I just think, like, you saw last night, a lot of it, like, you've got, like, a lot of, like, guys on that defense who is not a great defense anymore, but, like, there are a lot of, like, proud, like, veteran players on that defense, you know, like your Eddie Jacksons, your Oquan Smiths, your Robert Quinns, who have been part of really good defenses. And, you know, I think, you know, you mix that with some of the younger guys, and now maybe you have a little bit of a formula, you know, like, where you can create mistakes from offenses on your defense with your defense, and then you can kind of shorten the game, run the ball, and use the running game to get Justin going. To me, like, that looks like it's the formula that they found last night, and I think it can at least make you competitive the rest of the year. I still don't think the Bears are better than, you know, maybe a 6-win team, but, you know, I do think that they found a formula last night that can at least make them competitive the rest of the year and cover up some of the deficiencies they have, primarily along that offensive line.
A further look into the Bears matchup against the Dallas Cowboys, plus the average feeling of the National Football League, and what's in the phone of Albert Breer, our guest on Cap and Jay Hood. That's next.
Justin Fields, his second running touchdown. What a drive.
Here's one floated for Smith, and it's picked. Brisker, the rookie. That's his first. Jonnu Smith was the target, the tight end, and number nine flashed in and made a one-handed pick. Blitz. Fields throws to Herbert. Pass blocking. That's a touchdown. That is a blitz beater.
I'm a star.
Second takeaway by this Bears defense as Justin Jones, the big defensive tackle, comes away with a football. Montgomery is in for the touchdown. What a night for the ground game of the Bears. Zappe passes in the air and intercepted by Smith. Tipped at the line, and Roquan Smith with another takeaway for the Chicago D. This is going to be intercepted by the rookie Gordon. Tyler Gordon just runs out of gas, but another takeaway by the Chicago defense.
Yeah, another one of those young players from this year's rookie class. You know, we've talked about the impact that Dominique Robinson has had, and now Tyler Gordon.
Put it on the New England Patriots, 33-14 on Monday Night Football. Good morning. Welcome in to a Bears Victory Tuesday on Captain J Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Good morning, Twitch, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. We're glad that you are with us watching the show as well as we talk about the Bears with their victory against the Patriots, the great Alex Brown. From our family here at ESPN 1000 and NBC Sports Chicago, joins us here on ESPN 1000 as we talk about the 3-4 Bears. Good morning, AB.
Good morning. How you doing?
Well, you know how we're doing, man.
My guy!
Come here, Pat, pass me a Pall Mall. What do you mean? You know how we're doing right now. That's an ass-whooping of epic proportions last night against the GOAT. How about that?
No doubt. I wouldn't say against the GOAT, but that's a different topic. But, okay. Yep.
Well, Papa Bear is not around right now. I understand. I'm just saying.
He's not adding to his win total.
So we start with the defense first. What resonated most about what you saw defensively from the Bears?
Takeaways. That's what it's about. Taking the ball away. If you can stop the run and you can take the ball away from the other team, it gives your offense more opportunities to score. So the takeaways is what jumps out at me. And I guess who was doing it? I mean, on three of them, there were rookies involved, right? So it's just like everybody's contributing. As far as the young guys getting in there and playing well and playing at a high level, these guys are, I don't know. I mean, they're flying around. They're having fun. They look like they were having fun last night. So defensively, I like what I saw. If you can be consistent at giving up 14, 17, 10 points, you're going to give yourself a chance to win each and every week.
So, AB, we watched the game together. We saw 12 designed quarterback runs, not guy who thinks he's going to get hit, flushed out, and tucks it and runs. Designed quarterback runs. Is that sustainable? Because you and Lance and Coach Wanstead were talking with me about this kid's going to get himself killed if he's not careful. But, man, oh, man, was that fun to watch.
I mean, it is fun to watch, and it makes you think, like, you don't want him taking the hits. I want him outside of the pocket. I want him getting down when he gets, okay, running out of bounds. He's sliding. That's what I want. I don't want him taking any big hits. He's super athletic. He's not Cam Newton, though. So Cam is a huge person. And I'm not saying Justin can't take the licks. I just know in the NFL, hell, they made Michael Vick stop running. He broke his leg. So, and Michael Vick was the fastest quarterback I ever saw. And when you're talking about elusive and just quick and fast, like, it's just, the NFL will catch up to you. So as he starts to learn and as we get better and get better players around him, getting him outside of the pocket is, I think, what's best. The design run should be, I think, a little less than 12, though. Maybe four or five of them in a game. I'm okay with the scrambling when your first, second read isn't there, getting out of there, because his clock just isn't quite right just yet, because he holds on to that ball just a little too long, and he's getting hit while he's throwing it, and you get those balls that's fluttering in the air, and you give the opposing team an opportunity to get a takeaway there.
In terms of the ability to run the football, you know, coming into the game, there were a lot of people in the league that said Cleveland has a better offensive line, they've got a better running game, and they are the best running team in the National Football League. The Bears were close. After last night, I'm not sure that they don't have the best run game. Maybe they don't have the best wide receivers or the best pass protection. Do you think that type of game plan, you were a defensive star, do you think that game plan of running Justin in the manner that they did is sustainable, not from the injury part I just asked you about, but from Dallas, Miami, the Lions, whoever's coming up next on the schedule, they watch tape. Can you take that away with game planning?
Well, with a different attitude, I think what we saw in the game was a different attitude of an offense. It wasn't when we got down to the goal line, well, hell, New England knew we were going to run it, and they still couldn't stop it. That's running the football. When other team knows what you're going to do, and they still can't stop it, I think it is sustainable running the football, getting maybe not 200 yards every game, but definitely gaining 150 yards with Justin using his feet as well, getting 40 of those, and then your running backs getting 110, 120, something like that. I definitely think that's sustainable, and that is controlling the clock. And if you look at that, that's another thing that jumps out, the time of possession. That jumps out because you keep their offense off the field when you can put together first down after first down. So it's – yeah, it was – I mean, gosh, I haven't been this happy after a Bears game in a long time.
Right.
You know, and the fact that, like, it wasn't against, like somebody terrible, you know. It was actually against a pretty dang good defense. So, like, when you do it against somebody good, it just helps with that confidence in that locker room that, sure, they can say they believe it, but until you see it, until you do it against somebody good, you don't really believe it. You know, you don't really know if it works. And I think they showed everybody that – not necessarily that they're, oh, we're a Super Bowl contender now, but that we can have an offense or that you can look at and you can be excited about. We can have that type of offense. We can have that type of team that looks young and vibrant and running around and having a good time and playing football the right way. I loved it. It was great.
Alex Brown with us on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Even though either against Zappe or Jones, the Bears defense registered one sack, but I thought that there was a lot of hurries and being active defensively. What did you see from the line that stood out to you?
That's what I saw. I didn't see it from a man Robert Quinn.
Oh,
but
well.
We need to find out where Robert is. I don't know what's going on, but I know he's going against the best, primarily, most of the time he's going against the best offensive lineman that the other team has, but, man, we got to get him going. But we don't have him going right now. The other kids are making plays, so I like to think positive and say, once Robert gets going, then the opposing team will have a problem. But, yeah, I mean, I like the games that we're running up front. You run games when you can't win the one-on-ones, and they were able to run the games and get home. On the interception by Brisker, that came because of pressure. Forced Matt out of the Matt Jones out of the backfield or out of the pocket, and then he throws a duck up there, and Brisker goes and gets it. So, yeah, the pressure is always good. Pressure is sometimes better than a sack because you get the guy off his spot, you make him uncomfortable. I mean, hell, just look at our quarterback and how he's been. The amount of pressure that he gets under up until last night. Like, it's just it speeds a quarterback up. And so it was good. It was really good to see that, the activity, the guys being active up front. But I do need more. I need more from everybody. On those one-on-ones, when you get them, you have to win.
There's a big middle. Cap and I have been talking a lot about how this National Football League, where you have the Eagles undefeated, you've got Buffalo being a good team, then there's a big middle. I mean, the Patriots and the Bears have the same record at 3-4, which says a lot. But I say at the same time, Cap, even with these teams in the middle, there's still talent. Like, for instance, this Matthew Judon is going to be a problem. Holy bleep. How good is he going to be? 2.5 sacks and a couple of tackles for a loss. A deflected pass. He was active yesterday.
Yeah, that guy's a beast.
I mean, what about him on that side of the football for the Patriots?
He's scary. What I saw when we dropped Justin back in the backfield or in the pocket, you drop him into the pocket, but you leave Judon one-on-one. That doesn't make sense to me. When you do that, you have to put two on him. You have to put a chipper on him or something. You can't leave him one-on-one with Borum. You just can't do it. Like, he's or whoever the heck that was over there, like, you can't leave him one-on-one, because you already knew coming into the game that he is a problem. He didn't become a problem last night. He was a problem beforehand. So you know that, and when you drop Justin back, a five-step drop in the pocket, you have to add extra attention to him. And, I mean, on a couple of those sacks, I mean, that didn't happen. So I'd like to see us prepare a little better there. So, and that's probably the only thing, being nitpicky, that I could find, but because I think the coaches did a great job. I thought this right here was the best plan I've seen for Justin Fields since he's been a Chicago Bear.
Yeah, we were in agreement. Hoodie and I talked about that. That Luke Getsy gets a gold star, man. His performance last night was outstanding. The trade deadline is November the 1st. We still understand we're in the talent acquisition phase of Ryan Poles, first year. Does it affect the culture in a room if Robert Quinn or David Montgomery, who's going to be a free agent, whoever it is, if they decide, well, we got the draft pick we had to get, we're trading this guy. Does that affect the culture, and does Poles have to be careful, or it's a business, do what you got to do?
No, I mean, as long as the player is the player when he comes in, I mean, we went through it. We went through it with
double.
You come off of Marty Booker, and Marty Booker has 100 receptions, and we trade him away to Miami for a guy that, when he got there, I mean, honestly, I couldn't even say his name. I was like, "Who is Adewale Ogunleye? Who is that guy?"
Right.
And as long as he's a player, it doesn't matter, because Wale came over, and Wale changed a lot for our defensive line. Like, he came over, he was that dude. He could get to the quarterback. His first year, I think he had 10 sacks. So, and that was a big deal for us to have a guy that can get there, and then everybody else just kind of go and come along. And as we added the talent, so if you're adding talent, there's no problem. I mean, if you're going to trade Robert Quinn and you're going to get DJ Moore, then I don't think that would be a problem. Because you do have young guys behind him that are making plays. They are out there. They're active. They have more sacks than Robert up to this point during the season. So you have two guys that have more sacks than him. So yesterday he didn't get a sack, but he caused the takeaway that Roquan caught the interception. So, like, they're active out there. They're making plays. So, yeah, I don't have a problem with if they were to move Robert, or if they got a good price for him, then yeah, because we are in that phase where we're trying to get as much talent on this team as possible.
Cowboys next, guys. Cowboys next.
Yes, they are.
I like to see what this defense does against Dak Prescott and the running game for Dallas. I'm looking forward to that. What about you, Alex?
The running. You know what? That doesn't scare me. I'm terrified of their defense. I am terrified. I think it's one of those. It's one of those games that you go in, if you think you're a good defense, and you go in and everybody's talking about the opposing team defense. Now, you got to go show up, and you got to go outplay them. That's the problem. Like that, I'm sorry, that is the task. Our defense needs to go outplay their defense, and if we do that, we'll have a chance to win.
Hey, man, travel safely back to Chicago. Have a great week, and it'll be a lot of fun. Look forward to talking to you again.
Appreciate it, guys. Go Gators.
All right, get off the phone. Stop. That's enough. Go Gators.
Go Gators. They're playing the dogs. Gators are 22-point underdogs. Biggest underdogs in like 25 years.
You know why?
Because the Gators ain't very good, and the dogs are very good.
Gator bite.
That's
he hung up the phone real quick, by the way. He knows.
He knows. We were all over him last night. We are talking football with you next. Your thoughts on the Bears win over the Patriots. 312-332-3776. He's Hoodie. I'm Cap.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Captain Jay Hood, morning 7 to 10 here on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Black and Abdallah will crosstalk with the guys coming up as they're in for Greeny at 10 o'clock. But right now, let's turn to the Captain Jay Hood cut of the day. And it's brought to you by
Chicago. Don't be premature there, Charlie. They've got stuff for that. Brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse. David Flom and Matt Moore's awesome creation. You got to try the Newski Bacon. And their hand-packed burgers are insane. And their fries take 3 days to make. They're incredible. Mm. Take that.
Yeah. All right.
Charlie?
And then, you know what? Hang on a second. Charlie. So the other thing about Chicago Cut I really like is that when you go there, you talk about quality service as soon as you come through the door.
Correct.
Right? All right, Charlie. But then the other thing, too. Yes, hold on a second, Charlie. Hang on. The other thing, too, though, like when it's like spring and summer, right? You could go outside.
Sit on the patio.
Oh, the patio. Charlie, the patio. It's unbelievable.
Okay. Yo. Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
I say that he's the most impressive kicker since Dempsey, Tom Dempsey. And he had a club foot.
He did. He had a little boot.
How come we don't get any barefoot?
And one hand.
We don't get barefoot kickers anymore.
Tony Franklin.
How come we don't get that anymore? I mean, have kickers gotten smarter? It's like, you know what? I can still kick this on with a cleat. I don't need to.
Put a shoe on here. This hurts.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
You say Tom Dempsey had one hand, too. Is that what you said?
I did. He had one hand. Yes.
He had a club foot, for sure.
And he had one hand.
Had a club hand.
Yes.
And a club foot.
Correct. He had no hand. He had just his arm ended at the wrist. Yes. That's a true story.
That's hilarious. I didn't know. I heard that the second time. It's like, oh, you did say you had one hand, too.
Yes.
Tom Dempsey.
That is correct.
I told you the story that Doug Buffon told me. Told you that story. Remember when Doug's on special teams and the special teams coach says, hey, watch out for Dempsey on special teams. He goes, this guy's got a club foot. He's not going to catch me. I mean, and Doug had to make one key block and miss the guy with the club foot. Tackled by Dempsey. And the coach is, son of a bitch, I told you to watch out for Dempsey. He took it for granted because he had a club foot. That's what Doug did.
Right. Number 19, Tom Dempsey. I'm looking at the picture. He had a club foot with a special shoe and one hand.
And was getting it done.
63 yards. It's good. Yes.
Oh, God.
Died in 2020.
Oh.
Yeah.
Alan Arrington Heights on ESPN 1000. Hello, Al.
What's going on, Jay? How you doing, man?
What's up, Al?
Hey, I just want to know if you had... Last time I called and we talked, you told me that the Bears couldn't run the ball primarily and win, that it was 2020 and they had to, you know, adapt to the times. So I just want to know if you got that same energy.
Yes. Yes, you cannot exclusively run the football and win ball games. Absolutely. Anything else on that?
And they ran for 245 yards yesterday.
243.
And Justin Fields only threw it 21 times.
Yes, 13 for 21. You also had to be able to connect to Darnell Mooney and St. Brown and commit to get down the field.
Time of possession was what, 37 to 20? Like, you don't think that'll work consistently, winning the time of possession, playing through your defense and running the ball?
Not to, and not trying to win a Super Bowl, no, absolutely not.
that the question was, can you exclusively run the football in this league in 2022 and get to the mountaintop? The answer is no. You have to keep a defense honest.
But I also don't think you have to be Kansas City.
There's a happy medium to all of it.
Agree. You have to have balance.
Yeah, so the idea, no, Al, the answer is the same. You cannot just exclusively run the football like it's the 1980s and think that you're going to win a Super Bowl. You have to have some sort of vertical passing game in today's league. And here's the reason, and I'll state it again. Not only can you help yourself, but the officials will help you as well. Everything's pass interference. Don't you? You can run the football and also be able to get flags, and they'll help you get first downs. In this league, absolutely. It's about both.
Got to have balance.
So there's your answer, Al.
100%. By the way, Bet Rivers just tweeted this.
Yes.
And they are Chicago Sportsbook. The Patriots to cover against the Bears on Monday Night Football was the single most wagered on play of the entire NFL season this year. How about that?
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
We appreciate you calling and twitching and being part of the program here on ESPN 1000. Our thanks to you, Shay. Our thanks to you, Charlie, on the other side of the glass. Cap, how about tomorrow, 7 to 10?
Rock and roll, baby. Have a good day.
This Bears Tuesday continues with Black and Abdallah in for Greeny next. So long, everybody.
Take that.
From Chicago.